Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, a diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 36. We're proud and honored to have Aaron Bolo on with us today, and I've been honored also to have Sign Guy come on for the first half of the show or so. He's on his way to Northwest Pro today, but let me tell you about Sign Guy. He's so fly, let me tell you why. He's going to make you so high, he's going to make you think you're going to touch the sky, he's going to make your brain fry. I don't have to lie, because he might even be better than baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Doing all right here in the final minutes of the Purdue game.
How they doing?
They're up 67-57 with 3.5 to go.
Right on. All right. Without further ado, welcome Aaron Bolo. How you doing, brother?
Coach, I'm doing great. Living the dream. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. We miss you. The Northwest miss you. Man, it's good to hear from you.
Man, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I miss, you know, to say the least, you know, I really miss, you know, obviously, first and foremost, the fans, you know. I mean, just to say thank you is an understatement, you know, to all the support. While I was in the ring, outside of the ring, and since I had to step away, the support has just been above and beyond anything I could have ever imagined. And, of course, everyone that I've ever shared a locker room with, a ring with, you know, it's just to say that I miss, you know, those times, you know, it certainly doesn't do justice, but just nothing but love for every, you know, all the fans and everyone that I've shared a ring or a locker room with.
Exactly. What an honor and blessing to know you and share the locker room with you and have you as our main event. And, man, my opinion, you were like the biggest rising star the Northwest had ever seen, which makes you an icon of the Northwest, in my opinion, which makes you a legend now, you know. And so... Goodness, man. Thanks again.
That's really nice of you to say that, Coach. You know how I feel about you. You know, it's all the, I mean, we've had so many good times together, and I always had a joy working with you and wrestling with you on any shows we're on together. Of course, wrestling the NGW shows, it was always a really, really good time and a really good opportunity that, and you know, it's for you to say those things. You know, for me, I think every single time I step into a ring and in front of the fans, you know, I always you know, wanted to leave it all out there. And it, to me, what we do in that ring, it's an art form. And and it's a blank canvas. And I just feel that the kind of response that the fans, you know, really was able to connect with what I was doing, that's something that I'll never forget. And it really helped fuel me each and every day. You know, you know how it is. Sometimes the body is aching. Sometimes, you know, there some days are tougher than others, but just that connection that we have with the fans is unlike anything else.
Exactly. We're blessed to have Sign Guy on today. He's on his way to Northwest Pro, J.D. Mason's group over there in Key Peninsula Center over there today. So he only can be on for so long. But, hey, Sign, why don't you throw out the first-timer question, please?
Sure.
Sign Guy.
Now, Coach and I know this, Mr. Bolo, but for the fans listening that may not, how did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Oh, man, that's a great question. So I think that, you know, like many others, around the at least the time that I was breaking in, right? So growing up, you know, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I think the first images I recall, you know, were of that, of Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, you know, these guys that were kind of larger than life. And I think at that age, you know, you know, they're superheroes, right? So in my mind, I think at that age, there's the Incredible Hulk, right? There's these superheroes, and then there's Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. Well, you come to find out, wait, these are, you know, actually real people here, you know, that you can actually go see perform live. All right, what are they doing? Well, I think it was WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, that ladder match. That was the time I can remember like it was yesterday. I remember watching that match and thinking, that's what I'm going to do. And ever since then, you know, some people say this, people ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? For me, it was, what do I need to be when I grow up? There was no other option from a very young age. So as soon as I, you know, had the opportunity, I was about 15, 16 years old. And this was back in the day when kind of there was, you know, the beginning of these online message forums, right? These pro wrestling forums. Well, somehow, some way, in that kind of craziness, I online met a man that would go on to become Finn HD. So we were both, you know, in our early teens at this point, and we kind of met up and just, you know, talked for hours on end about how much we love this business, how we both wanted to get into it. And a few years after that, a school pops up, Pinnacle Pro Wrestling, ran by someone who was really a good mentor, you know, for me, Cecil Reed, and the head trainer at that time, Dave Hollenbach. So we kind of got our foot in the door there, got trained, and kind of got the ball rolling from that point.
Right on. You know, and, man, it's been an honor to have – man, you've represented Korea really well. And, man, you made Korea proud, man. Tell us a little bit about your heritage.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, again, Coach, for you to say, I mean, that's a really, really kind thing for you to say. And, you know, and speaking of which, certainly give your send your family your wife and your family, my love, you know, it's something that I'm really proud of, right? So I was born in a town called Daegu, South Korea. So it's about an hour outside of kind of the main city, Seoul. And so I was born there and moved here when I was about a year old and moved back and forth. So I kind of lived off and on between Korea and here. Honestly, for until I was, say, 13 years old, so spent quite a bit of my childhood there. And that was one thing I'll say is in Korea at the time, they started airing the WWE or WWF, of course, at that time, pay-per-views. And that's kind of where I got really hooked into it. And, you know, and so when I kind of broke into the business, you know, it was something that a heritage I was really proud of. There wasn't a ton of representation out there. You know, I think there was Jimmy Yang, Gail Kim, and some others, you know, and I really just wanted to kind of represent that heritage and bring it out in a way to kind of show people a little bit more of what that culture looks like, and was really proud to be able to do that.
Right on, you know. And then, hey, I want to give a shout-out right now to a guy that has done so much for the business, so much for myself, the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil that was started by JD and QT Vokes. And then I've been the co-host for almost 2 years now, so I've been blessed to do that. And then Sign Guy helped me get my own show and then helps me co-host my show half the time. And then he helped me book you on the show. So I'm forever indebted to Sign. And Sign, I want you to get the next couple questions. And you also got fan mail too. So go ahead.
Well, thank you, Coach. I appreciate that. Now, Bolo, I was there pretty close to the beginning of your career, all the way through. In the early days, you could hear a certain fan sometimes chant, Danielson, brick, no hit back. This no tournament, this for real. How much did you want to punch that guy in the face?
Oh, man. Can I plead the fifth on that one? Yeah, let's just say this. You got to love when, you know, someone's voice can be heard. And I'll say this, 15 years later, that voice still rings in my head from time to time. Let's put it that way.
Nice.
I want to punch that guy in the face for that now, if it's still ringing in your head 15 years later.
I can't say if the opportunity ever presented itself. I don't want. Who knows what would happen? But yeah,
jeez.
The night terrors still come up here and there. Trust me. Trust me.
Oh man.
All right, Sai, keep going.
Well, like Coach was saying, you were very well respected here in the Pacific Northwest, and you were inducted as the first ever Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame member. And I know a lot of the companies brought you in after you did have to step away from the ring to say your farewells. When you look back at the time that it had to be the end for you in ring, what were some of the things going through your mind as you were being presented with awards and being the guest so you could say goodbye to the fans?
You know, that's a great question, because I think that's one of the toughest things to do for anyone in any, you know, and especially anything related, I think, to sports or entertainment or just any career that you feel, you know, isn't it a career, it's just something that you love to do, right? I think for me, that was very therapeutic, and it put me in a place where I couldn't step away unless I felt an actual sense of contentment. I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm genuinely happy about the wrestling career that I had, and I'm able to walk away with that sense of joy of what's taken place. And it was a huge honor to receive that award from Turnbuckle Turmoil. It was a huge honor it was a huge honor to be able to have that platform that DOA and TCW and others, Turmoil gave me to thank my fans, to be able to gracefully step away. So I would say the word was truly contentment, and that's something that I'm so blessed to be able to say that I am very content with the time that I had to live out my dream, and that's what it was. It was truly living out a dream.
Yes.
Well, I was very, very fortunate. I got to see you from the very start and always enjoyed watching you and always enjoyed being on a show with you whenever we got the chance.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Son. And, you know, yeah. I always really enjoyed seeing you at every, you know, and like you said, you're exactly right, from the very beginning. You know, and you were there for some of the wildest shows and wildest matches and wildest moments, you know, generally in the ring, but, of course, some that spilled out into the ring, we'll put it that way. And, you know, I think we could certainly dedicate a whole show to run down some of the craziest moments, I think, that I don't know, it seems especially during that time period, you know, there was such a you know, I think it was really a lot of unique personalities, and I think there was a lot of, you know, you had kind of veterans that have been there for many years, and you had a lot of new up-and-comers, and I understand that's certainly the case today, and it's always kind of that cycle, but I think at that time especially there was really quite a mix that I think led to some really interesting, unique, and entertaining shows.
Yes, for sure. You know, and speaking of fans, you should know that my girl, my Yobo Key, is one of your biggest fans. And this is sort of long-winded. You know, we've had some special times, you know, and you had some, you did have some footage. Maybe it's lost footage. I'm not sure. But you did come up with a part of the Mike Santiago fight and help me get that posted. I appreciated that. And especially when he's like one of your best friends, you know, I really respect that you still posted that for me, even though I still had the whole footage. But regardless, it's nice to have the other angle, and plus you got it out there first. So thanks for that. And then the lost footage I'm thinking of is the two different times we wrestled at the Cedarwood Dome. Couldn't believe the whole locker room was chanting coach. So if there's somehow you can come up with that footage or the footage from the Parkland Center, the same thing. The whole roster was sitting there chanting coach. If there's any way you can come up with that footage, I'll give you $50 a piece for those.
Well, a couple of things there. First of all, we have a ton of footage. Now, of course, I don't know who posted that fight. Some guy, Bone Thug Mug. I don't know who that is,
oh.
Right? But someone okay, posted okay. that up there. With that being said, what I loved about that whole build up to the fight itself, everything after, is you and Mike, nothing but respect, right? And that's what was so cool about it. You know, I think going into it, you both had that same attitude, you know, of win or lose, we're going to, you know, settle this right here and now, and afterwards, shake hands, you know, move on. And to me, that's what I loved about it. You know what I mean? And,
exactly.
And now that you mentioned it about that footage, I remember that moment. And let me, you know what? I'll reach out to Bone Thug Mug. He has all that footage, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has that very footage you're talking about.
He'll have $100 coming his way.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, I think he'll be extra motivated with that incentive.
Okay, now let's go on to the time thing. Sign, how much time you got?
I got about 10-15 minutes.
Bolo, do you got the whole hour, or how much time do you got?
We're good. Yeah, we got an hour here. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right, Sign, go ahead.
Well, I'll jump to the fan mail question. Apparently that idiot Darth Carter wrote into the show here to ask a question of Bolo, and he wants to know, Bolo, why did you not small package Drew McIntyre and hook his tights and put your feet on the ropes in order to win the Intercontinental title and go on to a secure and guaranteed spot at WrestleMania?
Oh, Doctor, thanks for the question. That's a great question. You know, at one point I was under an NDA, right, that I had to sign, but here's the truth of it. They actually cut out about 12 minutes of that match and sliced it down to a 30-second segment for TV. As you saw, Sanga, you were there, right? You were there live. You know, it was a nice
yes.
long match. And I think at one point I did actually roll him up and put the foot on the ropes, and I think they cut that out, I guess. It was pretty shocking, right? You go watch SmackDown. I said, wait a second, this is what we saw live? This can't be right. But, you know, I completely understand. You know, it's that's show business.
Wow.
They got to fit the commercials in somehow.
Got to get the commercials in somehow. Got to make cuts. You know, on going into Friday night after they taped the Tuesday, I was already making travel plans for WrestleMania. I had, I think at one point I even had the briefcase leaving the building. But they said, hold up, we don't know what we're going to air yet. So it was that close to truly having my WrestleMania moment. But in all seriousness, you know, it's that was really a cool deal. You know, it was, I think growing up, I think it's kind of, I was a fan of kind of the workhorses, you know, to put it that way, the Kurt Hennings, the Bret Harts, you know, the Eddie Guerreros, you know, and to me, I really looked at the Intercontinental Championship as kind of that workhorse title. So it was pretty thrill moment, you know, to have a match on SmackDown for the Intercontinental Championship, and of course the Money in the Bank and a chance at WrestleMania, and so that was a really really kind of huge honor to have that opportunity.
Plus, that was in your home state of Washington, right? In Seattle, right?
Oh yeah, that was another big part of it. You know, growing up, I would go to Supersonics games, you know, at the Key Arena, you know, and so kind of the, you know, Sean Kemp, I guess he's been in the news this week, but, you know, good, you know, getting into the ring, you know, in the same kind of arena that the Glove, Gary Payton and the Rain Man himself, Sean Kemp, you know, used to throw up alley-oops and dunk on there in Key Arena was a pretty cool moment, you know, to be able to, like you said, you know, perform kind of in my hometown was a huge deal.
For sure, and they even billed you as a Northwest MMA champion, so my goodness, that was a good push they gave you there. And then before I get back to Sign Guy, I have a couple questions that have Sign Guy in the subject. One of them is, I'm sure the fans would love to know what your favorite coffee is.
Ah, good question. That's a really serious question. It's a good one. You know, believe it or not, it might, as ridiculous as it sounds, you know, I kind of go, I take my coffee black, you know, just straight up, you know, and keep it pretty simple there, just with the Folgers, you know, just really, really bare bones when I do coffee. Otherwise, I'm kind of more of a tea guy.
Okay, nice. And then another one, this one comes straight from Sign Guy. And then, you know, Sign Guy's followed this guy probably more than anybody in wrestling. He pretty much knows Darth Carter's whole, every match he's had. But he still asked me the question last night, has Bolo ever wrestled Darth Carter?
You know, that's a dream match when you go there. You know, it's a real dream match, and if there's a return match, I mean, that, there you go, right? That's a Coachamania, right? And book it.
Okay, yes.
You know what I mean? NGW Coachamania. There it is. Sign Guy will be there. We'll put it up. You know, Aaron Bolo. You know, the return match. Coachamania. Book it. There we go.
Exactly. And then we might have to get a hold of Minho Kim over there in South Korea and see about bringing that one over to South Korea. That's a very special event right there.
Absolutely. You know, I know we're bringing it, and that's where it's going to happen. I mean, it's only the right thing to do. You know, we'll pack the Olympic Stadium over there and talk about a main event. November to remember, you know what I mean? It's whatever you want to bill it as, it's going to be big.
Awesome. All right, Sign, back to you.
Well, Mr. Bolo, you went up and down the entirety of the West Coast pretty much, and you worked for a large number of different promotions, and as we both know, the referees on these shows can vary quite a bit in experience and skill set and training. Some promoters will literally grab guys off the street, hand them a shirt, send them to the ring to referee. Others take pride in having people that have been trained and know what they're doing. I know you've worked with some really great referees. I'm sure you had some matches where the officiating was a little on the questionable side. Who were some of the best referees that you had for your matches?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, you were always up top of my request line, you know, as far as, you know, if there's an opportunity, if you happen to be, you know, at that point in time, you know, willing and able to do so. But, you know, you bring up a really good point. You know, there's, you know, you definitely get your kind of either, whether it be more experienced, you know, referees, and certainly one of the most experienced, you know, that time, and someone who, you know, really, you know, was kind of fortunate to be able to spend that time in the ring with was Mark Watson, of course. You know, it was someone that was a really good referee, really had quite a legacy, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, you know. And then kind of breaking in to Pinnacle Wrestling, you know, one of the referees I broke in with was Daniel Mullen, you know. And he was really, you know, I think one of the shows, kind of, I'm sure you remember, was at a speedway, and the ring was in the middle of a huge dirt kind of track. I think it rained a bit that day. It was a muddy kind of muddied up arena there, and Danny Mullen was the ref there, and he was the ref in TCW, so he was there refing quite a few matches. And I think he called it down the middle for the most part. I don't know. I think Damon James and kind of during that feud, Daniel Mullen might have had him in his back pocket there. And then Mike Sweetser, you know, was another really, really good referee that stands out in kind of the back of my mind. Before he joined the Elite, of course, he used to kind of call things down the line. But, you know, that's just a few. I mean, in my experience, you know, I had a lot of good experiences, you know, with any of the referees that I worked with. But one in particular that you don't get much better than is Jeff the Ref Manning. When he's reffing your match, you don't want to mess around. He's going to he's going to get involved.
What a list that is, my goodness. Now, Sign, why don't you tell everybody, take a minute out and tell everybody what you got coming up about the Sign of the Times, Chicken Bob, all your social medias, and what you got coming up.
I will be heading out the door very shortly to go to Northwest Pro in Vaughan, Washington tonight. On the 25th, I will be back at RWA in Ocean Shores at the Civic Center as we continue the Tag Team Title Tournament. Sign of the Times episode 571 should be up later today or in the morning. You can find me on the Book of Faces. Just look up Sign Guy, you'll find me. Go to the Twitter, @SignGuyHPW, the Gram, Chicken Bob all over the social media as well. You can find him there. He also will be at Northwest Pro later this evening. And also on the books later in the spring, on the 15th of April, I'll be at Paulcade 3, and in July at the World's Finest Wrestling First Ever Women's Tournament on the 29th of July. I will be officiating that. So that's what I got on the books, and that's where you can find me on the social medias.
What about Chicken Bob?
Chicken Bob, like I said, he'll be at Northwest Pro tonight. You can find him all over the social medias, on the Twitter, @ChickenBobBach, on the Gram, Chicken_Bob_Wrestling, and he's got the Chicken Bob fan page on the Book of Faces.
And you got Sign of the Times, and what else would you like to promote?
That's pretty much it. I will be donating all of my wrestling-related income this particular month to Tommy Celsius, who unfortunately lost his 8-year-old son a few weeks ago. He had a lot of expenses that went into that tragedy, so I'll be donating what I can to help him out. So if you see me at a show and you want to buy a piece of merchandise or a picture of Chicken Bob or donate just in general, let me know, and that'll all find its way to Tommy C.
You got any more questions for Aaron?
Not really questions. I'll just say, Mr. Bolo, it's always been a pleasure. Hopefully we'll see you at a show sometime relatively soon, and hopefully you get that match with Darth Carter, because I would jump in there and help you.
Thank you, Mr. Guy. Always a pleasure. A safe travel. Send Tommy Celsius my love and condolences. And till we meet again.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much for everything you've done. You and Coach have a good rest of the interview.
Thank you, Sign.
Thank you, Sign.
All right. There he is, the one and only Sign Guy. All right, Aaron. Who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was wrestling, sports, music, or ordinary life, or all the above?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, I think, you know, there's different, whether that be personally, professionally, I think they, you know, they all can have different impacts on how you kind of view life and kind of how you're motivated. Starting kind of within the wrestling business itself, I think for me, you know, growing up, Bret Hart, you know, that was kind of the guy for me that I kind of patterned a lot of kind of early on getting into business after with someone who I really looked up to, you know, just the way, I think the way he carried himself in the ring, outside of the ring, he was someone that I certainly idolized growing up. Kind of beyond that, Razor Ramon was another one that, you know, just that machismo, you know, I think I remember going around. I don't think the teachers liked it too much, but taking a toothpick to school, you know what I mean? And launching
yeah.
the toothpick out.
Nice.
I don't think that was very much appreciated. But certainly that was the case, you know, in elementary school and all of that. But then, you know, outside of that, you know, for me personally, you know, like, my dad was someone that, or is someone, you know, that I've always looked up to, just the way that he kind of carries himself with respect and honor. And that's someone who I've really tried, that's something I've really tried to carry on and kind of pass on to my children and kind of carry myself that way. And then, of course, in sports, you know, we kind of touched on it. You know, I kind of, as I mentioned, I grew up off and on, you know, between Korea and Washington State. So, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. was certainly my favorite kind of athlete growing up. And again, here, you know, he's someone that, you know, he always flashed that million-dollar smile, right? And the way that he swung a baseball bat and played in the field, he was so smooth, I think, in everything he did. Everything, I think, looked effortless for him. And I think that's something also kind of carried over, tried to carry over into the ring, you know, where it almost looks, you know, it's just kind of a smooth kind of movements and just that really effortless kind of way of going about things. But those are certainly kind of a few of the guys that I really, you know, had a big influence on me growing up.
All right, nice. You know, and yes, just like Steve Largent was out there, they out there making it look easy. That's because that's how good they are. And you did the same thing there, Aaron. Man.
Thanks, Coach. I really appreciate that, man.
Did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Yeah. So, growing up, played in middle school, played football, and then going into high school, that was kind of at least planning to be my sport. But during the summers before the school year started up, played quite a bit of basketball as well, and actually broke my ankle both summers going into 10th and 11th grade. So, of course, sidelined, right, as football season was starting. So that kind of curbed that off to the side. So because I was kind of injured, right, throughout kind of once the football year was starting. So when you can't so when football wasn't working out, you know, wrestling was always the number one goal anyway. So, you know, it's like, well, I guess even more time dedicated to getting into wrestling training and getting that ball rolling. So didn't play as many sports as I would have liked, but certainly, you know, outside of school, definitely played a ton of basketball, football, baseball, all of that growing up.
Okay, awesome. And then tell the fans about your self-defense background.
Yeah, absolutely. So growing up in Korea, I think it's almost part of the curriculum, Taekwondo, right? So I'm a black belt, Taekwondo, and kind of as I also, you know, when I was, you know, as a pro wrestler, you know, I always have been a big fan of, you know, kind of different combat sports, you know, whether it be MMA or even kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, kind of those sub-disciplines, obviously wrestling. And I think it's good to be well-rounded, right? Even in, you know, you want to call it sports, entertainment, whatever you want to call it, I don't think it hurts to have these different backgrounds. So did a bit of jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai training, and I think it all kind of came together to where, you know, I brought, you know, a little bit from each of those into my in-ring style.
Definitely. Okay, and then you mentioned some of the most memorable matches you've seen, but if there's any more memorable matches you've seen, I'm sure the fans would love to look them up. Plus, we'd love to hear about your most memorable matches.
Oh, man. Well, it's, you know, I mean, there's definitely a long list. Let me think of, you know, some of the kind of ones that stand out in my mind. So, as I mentioned earlier, WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, that ladder match. That was kind of that first match that kind of clicked in my head. This is what I'm going to do. But I was at WrestleMania 19 in Seattle, and I think the scale of an event like that really drives someone kind of beyond the normal motivation that you might have. And certainly, you know, seeing The Rock, and at that time Stone Cold in his last match, you know, obviously, you know, getting a little bit older, once, you know, kind of as I was in my teens, that was during the Attitude Era, The Rock and Austin, you know, in the NWO, right? I mean, that's kind of the kind of peak. And being able to see that match live, you know, certainly stood out to me. And I think going to a lot of shows live, I think there was a lot of memorable moments as far as WWE and WCW, and even ECW shows taking place. I think being there live for the WCW Invasion, right, at a live Raw really stood out. And then I think more kind of Northwest focus. You know, one of the first shows I ever went to was an ICW show ran by kind of one of the kind of greats of the Northwest, right, Tim Flowers. And I know that you, you know, you certainly, I think you've been in, you've been in the ring with Tim Flowers, right? You've certainly been, kind of had some
yes.
matches with him and history with him, right? Yeah, and, you know, I think
yes, definitely.
The first shows ever, the first local show I ever went to was an ICW show. And there was a couple guys that really stood out to me on that show, one being Mike Santiago. And this was before I ever got trained. So that's where, you know, kind of ton of respect for him and just the way that he really stood out. And then another guy, the late, great, marvelous Matt. And one thing, Coach,
oh, yeah.
You know, that I always really, you know, I always had a lot of respect for you, you know that. But one thing that really, you know, that I really had a lot of respect for you for and something that meant a lot to me was, you know, that tribute show. You know, Marvelous Matt was, I mean, you talk about one of the, man, one of the best young talent that I've ever seen in person. And, you know, that's someone that, you know, really meant a lot to me to just, and I had that tribute to him And, you know, certainly that's a legacy, you know, that carries on. And I think that he, you know, is one of the best young talents. You know, so that was certainly kind of live, local, you know, early on in my career that stood out. So going on to, you know, kind of some of the kind of matches for me personally, you know, I think we certainly talked about, you know, being able to wrestle in my hometown on SmackDown, you know, was a really kind of special moment for me. But, you know, locally, I think that during the time that, you know, I was wrestling, as I mentioned, there was a lot of really good new talent and a lot of really good kind of veteran talent that I was able to learn from and have the opportunity to wrestle with. Certainly one of the standouts for me was getting the chance to wrestle with one of my biggest mentors and early trainers, Buddy Wayne, right? And doing that, I think it was a tag match, myself and Kaden Matthews versus Buddy Wayne and Brian Alvarez and TCW. That certainly is a match that stands out and getting an opportunity to get in the ring with Buddy was really cool. Really cool, man. And, you know, just because I think when you're kind of at least, you know, for me to kind of, I guess, you know, when you're especially young in your career, you just want to do things really fast. You want to kind of, you know, just everything, you know, kind of going all out to the wall and just kind of having these, I mean, you want to almost call them spot fest. And I think Buddy was really pivotal in saying, you know, it's not necessarily about just going crazy and just seeing how many cool moves you can do, but what is, you know, taking a pause and listening to that crowd, what does the crowd want, you know, and how to actually work a crowd, work a match. And Buddy Wayne, you know, was obviously a huge, huge influence on me in terms of really understanding the psychology of wrestling. That's certainly a match early on that was really important to me and really stood out. You know, it was another. I mean, there's a ton of really some of my favorite opponents. You know, certainly as I mentioned, Mike Santiago gained the opportunity to wrestle with Mike Santiago. We had a good feud there. Ethan HD getting a chance to have a good run of matches with him. You know, there's a ton of guys, you know, up and down the West Coast, and some of the memorable shows, you know, even NGW, I think the build up to that show at the YMCA, you know, we didn't know it was going to be Kaylin Rayless, Damon James, you know, and the that was a packed house, you know, at the YMCA, which is kind of right.
Yeah, the mystery opponent.
Yeah, the mystery opponent. And I grew up going to that YMCA, right? So getting the opportunity to have a match in there and was a really memorable match for me and kind of packing that venue. And, you know, I mean, there's so many good memories, you know, that it's and so many good opponents, so many good tag team partners. But it was that's something that I'm really, really grateful for, to have had the opportunity to wrestle for so many great promotions and be in the ring with so many great workers in the time I was able to do it.
Yes, definitely a blessing. And I got a couple points on what you just covered. You know, what a blessing to do the Marvelous Matt charity shows that we did for his family. And then, you know, the picture that we had afterwards with all the guys in his T-shirts is just priceless, you know. I mean, and then the other one I want to say was, like you said, with that tag team match you mentioned, the level of talent in that match is off the charts. My goodness.
Yeah, it was a really, you know, you know, you have those matches where going into it, you really feel, you know, you kind of turn it up a little bit more than you normally might, you know, and you really can feel something special brewing. And that was one of those matches you really, you know, for me, I really kind of felt it going into it.
Okay, yes. And then we did have another fan question. one of your former tag team partners, Azul Angel, at one point was one of the greatest wrestlers in the Northwest at the time. And the question is, whatever happened to Azul Angel?
You know, that's a really good question. Thank you. Thank you for that question. You know, Azul Angel, you're right. I mean, you talk about from the mask to the gear to the in-ring ability. I never spoke a word to the guy or ever heard the guy speak in the locker room, and he was my tag team partner. He spoke.
Wow.
You know, you never hear that. You know the famous term, actions speak louder than words? I mean, he was the epitome of it. You're just inspired by being in his presence. And then one day, I come out in the parking lot. We've all been there, and he's gone. And I think, okay, maybe I'll see him next week or the week after. Never saw him again. And the guy didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have an address. Nothing.
Get
it. But rumor has it that he's not struggling. The rumor has it he's doing very well wherever he is, and he's certainly at the top of whatever, wherever he went, he's at the top of whatever he's doing. That's the rumor that I hear, and I hear that now he's more talkative than ever. So there you go.
For sure. And then I heard a rumor that he actually hit his head in a match and he lost some of his memory and he quit washing his gear because somehow he thought it was good luck not to wash his gear. He opened his bag at the next show and it knocked him out from the smell. That's just a rumor.
You know, here's the thing. Is that a great rumor, but I hate to put it to bed because I'll tell you what, his gear, I don't care if he sweat the whole match, somehow always was immaculate. I don't know if he had.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the gear that he had, believe it or not, I mean, you would think that too, right? I mean, if anyone else doesn't wash their gear, I mean, good luck. You're going to see a cloud of smoke around them, right? But him? Somehow, always
exactly.
Smelled great, looked great, everything at all times. Don't know how he did it, but he did it.
Yeah, and he was another one of those guys that was so good. He made it look easy, and he was so smooth as silk.
He really was. He really was. And I remember. I mean, he was always, when I was his tag team partner. Right? After every show, he's just, I'm over here, right? And I think if I thought I was some big shot, well, wait till you after the show, and he has a million invitations and requests to go over to this, you need to celebrate this Quinceañera party. You need to come celebrate this, Cinco de Mayo is coming up. You're going to be the, we need you as the guest of honor. You know, Azul Angel, if there was anything going on, he was in high, high demand. I'll tell you that much.
For sure, man. And his matches with Dash Venture and NGW were matches to check out. You guys should check those out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking about there, right there, two of the premier talents. I mean, Dash Venture, he was another just – I think when he got in the ring the first time, you feel – okay, this is different. The way that he moves in the ring, the way that he carries himself. And I actually had the opportunity. There was a movie, no one needs to go out and watch it, but it was called The Ultimate Deathmatch. And I had the chance to co-star alongside Dash Venture. And, I certainly would not be anyone that would go out and recommend that movie by any means. But it happened. And just say Dash Venture. What incredible talent.
Sean Kane Films. The legendary Sean Kane Films.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about someone who, he certainly is, he's one of a kind. That's for sure.
He means well. He's a good guy.
He is. I always had a good time with him.
All right, cool. Now, who were some of your toughest opponents in the ring?
Ooh, some of my toughest. You know, there's definitely different. I think there's different opponents which were tough for different reasons, right? You had your kind of exiles and thunders. You know, these guys that are, you know, really larger than life, hit hard, you know, and are tough to kind of game plan for and really tough to get down, you know. So those are a couple guys that were really tough matchups, that's for sure. And then, you know, you have your guys like Christopher Ryzik, Christopher Ryzik was actually the very first match I had was against Christopher Ryzik. And he's someone you almost underestimate to begin with, right? He's coming in there. He's doing a lot of showboating. You know, he's more focused on himself than the match, it seems. But he's very technically sound, you know, and I certainly underestimated him. But he was one of my toughest opponents, believe it or not. Always enjoy my matches with him, you know. And then of course, you know, you have your hard hitting guys, right? So I had a tag match kind of when you bring up Azul Angel, you know, when we're a tag team, we had a tag team matchup against Davey Richards and Tony Gazzina, and these were, you know, two hard hitting, you know, kind of veterans, you know, that from Pacific Northwest natives, and that's probably to this day the most hard hitting match I've ever been in, you know, and it brings out another side of you, and they were certainly a tough out anytime you're in the ring with those guys.
For sure, you know, they're two of the top wrestlers who ever came out of the Northwest.
Absolutely, and you know, they've seen it all. You talk about those opponents where they know every trick in the book, right? That's a match where it's tough, but you come away learning a lot from being in the ring with those guys.
Definitely. Okay, what are some suggestions you have for people wanting to get into the business?
You know, I think number one, don't get into it unless you really love it. Because you're going to pay a price, and it's a price that you need to decide, is it worth paying that price, right? And to me, it was always an easy answer, of course. But for the sake of yourself and everyone else in it, only get into this business if it's something you truly love to do, because it's going to take a toll on your body, but it deserves to be treated with respect. Okay, that's one thing. Now that that's out of the way, I think it's important to ask questions. I think it's important to always be learning, and I think it's good to have a mindset of always growing. You know, I think the worst thing you can think is, I know everything, right? I mean, that's – and I think as crazy as it may seem, you know, even guys or girls breaking into the business, you know, I think you kind of have this idea of, I've seen it done this way, and this is the way it should be done. But I think what I learned in my career is I had a certain way that I viewed how a wrestling match or just sports entertainment, what it should look like. And I think being open to other ways of doing it is a huge piece from, at least from the standpoint of kind of the technical aspect of it. But I think most importantly, more than anything, just be kind, be respectful to others in the locker room, and especially the fans, because at the end of the day, that's who we do it for.
Excuse me.
You know, that's who we do it for, the fans, you know, and I think obviously if you're a heel or whatever, you know, that's its own thing, but the respect factor, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, going up and just trying to be overly, you know, just nice to the fans, unless that's what you want to do as a baby face or something, but have respect for the fans, meaning show up. If you're going to show up in front of a crowd, show up, for the fans who paid money to be there. Don't show up in that ring kind of, you know, going halfway or just mailing it in. Those fans paid to be there. Show them respect by showing up and giving your best. And I think the last thing I'd say is just be authentic. You know, I think that old saying of yourself with the volume turned up, I think that it's, you know, what makes wrestling fascinating and great are the characters, but there needs to be some root, there needs to be some truth rooted in it, or else the fans won't buy it, right? It needs
for
to be
sure,
some truth rooted in what character you're putting out there and who you're portraying to the crowd.
For sure, that's awesome advice. And do you have any schools you'd like to recommend?
You know, that's so I know I think right now there's a lot of good, what's awesome is there's a lot of really good schools and a lot of good places to learn and train. You know, the ones that I'm not saying that I know about all of them, right? So the ones that I know of, I know that SOS in Tacoma, Ethan HD is the head trainer there. I mean, can't say enough. I mean, you know, this is obviously someone that it's not just someone that I would highly recommend. I mean, to say the least, this is someone who's been around the world doing this at the highest level. The Buddy Wayne Academy, many of the graduates there I know are still training and are still that school is still running. And I mean, you want to talk about, obviously, you're talking about Nick Wayne, Darby Allin, you know, and so many of the incredible talent that's come out there. Randy, you know, it's just really Invictus Cash, you know, that's a great school. And I know there's DOA has a school. And, Coach, are you, I mean, like I said,
no,
I don't know
I'm not
what's
doing
still going on, right? But I know,
Yeah, I still do the Real School Army once in a while. We got Wild Lyle out there representing strong. Man, he's been really impressive. He's the Shoot Log champion at Fitness Quest down there. And, man, he's come a long ways.
Oh, yeah, Wild Lyle, man. He really has. And, you know, that's the guy who we saw coming up. You know, and is that in the I remember, I think it was the Fitness Quest in Spanaway that we had a bit of a training – school training sessions going on down there with some really, really good time, you know, kind of helping some of the new talent break in. So that's good to hear that it's still going strong.
Yeah, and then I know we're getting down to the last few minutes of your time. We appreciate your time. But so anyway, what are some of your favorites? First, we want to know what's your favorite concert you've seen.
Oh, favorite concert? For me, it's actually Linkin Park. I was a big Linkin Park fan growing up, and last time I saw them was at the Tacoma Dome, and obviously with what transpired after, really, really grateful I was able to go see them live at that time.
And then who are your favorite sports teams?
Big Seahawks fan, go Hawks. I mean, you know, just kind of a big Seattle fan, the Mariners, you know, obviously was a big Supersonics fan. Go Sea Dragons, right? But,
okay, yes,
you know, I'm a big
definitely.
Seattle fan. So.
Yeah. Tonight at 7, the Sea Dragons, yes. Okay. And then Hangul ordered Jogum Hamnida.
Coach, you know, before we go out, we got to hear a good coach with the most. You know how it goes. Come on now.
Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, coming at you from coast to coast. Don't want to brag, but I'm going to boast. So give a toast with the coach with the most.
Drop the mic.
And then, hey, though, are you would you accept any bookings for meet and greets or appearances, or are you totally out of it right now?
You know, the thing is, any opportunity, you know, to kind of meet with the fan, you know, absolutely open to it. And, you know, I certainly, you know, I know as the time's closing out, again, you know, just want to say thank you to all the fans. Any fans ever from any love or support, you know, and it's can't say enough how much it means to me. And it's something that I'll always hold near and dear to my heart. You know, I have nothing but the most utmost love and respect for all the fans. So yeah, absolutely open to it, and we can certainly talk about the details from there.
Okay, cool. And so the last two things is let everybody know how to get a hold of you and anything else you'd like to plug or promote, and then let's plug Azul's or the comic book store too.
Oh yeah, no, that's funny you mentioned it. So on any of the social media channels, you know, always happy to kind of read and talk with the fans. I'm on Facebook, right, on the Twitter there, on the Instagram. I think the MySpace is still out there somewhere. There's the Bolo Sholo there on the YouTube. There, you know, season 3 might be coming one day. We'll see. And you know, I did see, you know, you talk about comic book shop, you know, I did hear that there, as I mentioned, Zola Angel is doing big things wherever he is. But there is a comic book shop that I would recommend. That is for sure. Down in Tacoma, everyone, please, the first thing you need to do this weekend, any weekend really, just get down there to Tacoma, go to Destiny City Comics, and it's an amazing comic book shop run by the man himself, Ethan HD, Stephanie Hagen. They run an amazing shop. Please get down there, and I'll probably see you there myself.
Right on. Yes, we're proud and honored that Wild Lyle and NGW Undisputed Champion Viento, they train down there at SOS regularly, and it's nice to see that they're learning from Ethan HD also.
Absolutely.
All right, brother, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to plug or promote, or are you good for the day?
Hey, Coach, thanks for having me on. Thanks for anybody out there listening. And thanks again for all the love and support. And, you know, I hope this won't be the last time. You'll be hearing from me. And see you down the road. And it's as I said, really have enjoyed and really appreciate, you know, all the time in and out of the ring and all the time spent with the fans. Thanks for everything. Thank you, Coach.
You're welcome, Aaron. Thank you so much, Bolo. And there he is, Emily Wasaka's favorite wrestler, Aaron Bolo. Thanks again.
Emily. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, all the fans.
Have a great one, man.
Till next time.
All right,
have a great one,
there.
Coach.
Aaron Bolo. Thank you. Yes, man, it's a big, big weekend in Northwest Wrestling, and, man, what an honor to have Aaron Bolo take time out in his day to come on, talk Korea, Northwest Wrestling. And, man, we could talk to him all day. And can't wait to have him back on Turnbuckle Turmoil so I get a chance to talk to him on there again. And, yeah, you got Defias going on today along with Northwest Pro. And then let me see. I got some show notes here Time Guy sent me. So let's get on to them. All right. We also got Emerge in Columbus, Indiana today. And then let me see. Timber Pro Wrestling's in Everett, Washington today. You got Gouge in Raleigh, North Carolina. You got ACW in Bell, North Carolina. You got AWA in Blytheville, Arkansas. BTW in Shiloh, Ohio today. You got RLL in San Jose, California. PCW in Mesa, Arizona. Then there's also 907 in Anchorage, Alaska today. Then BMFX in Lafayette, Indiana. NGW in Burnettsville, Indiana. IPW in Muncie, Indiana. RCW in South Bend, Indiana. MMWA in St. Louis, Missouri. MSWA in Rockville, Tennessee. Rockville, Indiana. And ARW in Lake Station, Indiana. ICW in Red Bank, Tennessee. And TWA in Pikeville. Man, that's a long list. And then also, there's also wrestling going on tomorrow. But yeah, don't forget to check out the SOS training facility down there at Edison Square in Tacoma, Washington, with Cooper's down there, Pitfall Jones, Ethan HD, and other trainers. And then also, it was just announced that CPW is going to be having back at Strawberry Fest coming up this summer. And also CPW's next show in Arlington, Washington is the 25th for theatrical wrestling. Yes, and while Lyle's still representing down there in the grappling tournament, he had an impressive victory last time, and we're looking forward to him capturing that another title down there. All right, guys, we thank you so much. Mariners are on right now. It's 2-0 Mariners versus the Rockies in Arizona there. Today's a legendary day. They got the all-female broadcast, so looking forward to watching the DVR of that today. Then they got the Dragons also against San Antonio tonight in Lumens Field in Seattle at 7 o'clock. Dragons are 1-2, and so is San Antonio. San Antonio's coach is Hines Ward, so it's nice to see that he's representing out there in the XFL. And, man, the XFL has been impressive so far this year. I thought it might not have been that good, and as the weeks progress, it seems to go downhill, but it hasn't. It seems like it's going uphill each week. And the caliber of play is really good because they have some really strong coaching in the XFL. And for anybody to think that those coaches wouldn't search out the talent and have the talent on those rosters, you're mistaken, because, man, they have some good play out there in the XFL. So we're looking forward to Ben DiNucci and Josh Gordon today putting on another show like they did last week. And then also you got the Portland Trailblazers. Man, they're starting to struggle. They lost a nail-biter last night, 119-120 against the Philadelphia 76ers. Man, that was a heartbreaker at the buzzer. But we're hoping Chauncey can turn it around. The Portland Trailblazers can hopefully make the playoffs this year. Man, I'm really hoping for that. But anyway, we thank you guys so much, Aaron Bolo, Sign Guy, and all the fans, all your feedback and input and love and support. Thank you so much, and we appreciate it. See you next week. We got Hannibal Nicholson from Hannibal TV on next week. He's got over 350,000 subscribers on one of the biggest YouTube wrestling channels there is. He tops some of the major leagues out there all by himself. So we're looking forward to talking to him. And then, we're looking forward to having Dave Hollenbeck back on and a few other people. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you soon. Next week, Seattle at noon Pacific time. See ya. All right, my song's starting to load up here, having trouble loading. The Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song by The Never Were and Joe Love. Man, it's not turning on for some reason. But anyway, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones at YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from wrestlers and celebrities all over the world, including Aaron Bolo is on there. And then also, if you guys need any work done in the Northwest, check out A-Plus Payless Handyman Services for any job, no job too big or small. They're licensed, insured, and bonded general contractors. 10% cheaper than any written estimate, and 15% cheaper for seniors and military. Well, it looks like I'm having technical difficulties with my song because it doesn't want to load for some reason. So let me see if I can refresh if that makes any difference. It doesn't. And it looks like I'm having internet problems. All right, guys, let me see. Now I'm having trouble logging off the show. Let me see if I can start over. What the heck's going on? Okay, hold on a second. Let me see. Studio. Refresh. Ah, come on. I don't know what's going on, guys. Hopefully I'm still live. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week.